talking today with Ron Justice of Oklahoma Farm Bureau. And Ron, as we've been doing over the last several weeks, doing a legislative update with our different ag organizations. So glad to be back with you this week. As far as a legislative update goes, I know that next week is going to be a deadline week. And so tell us what that means for everybody that's been following this along.
Yeah, that's actually a very big deal over here in the legislation as we look at it, because people get really, really geared up this final week, because they have to get the bills heard in the opposite chambers this week, or basically they go away for this particular session. And so there's going to be legislators scrambling. It'll get pretty crazy over there, because they'll be scrambling to try to get their bills heard through committees and that process. And so it becomes very interesting to see that happen. And so there's a lot of excitement, if you will, a lot of frustrations also, because trying to work on legislation, get some of that legislation cleaned up, get amendments in so that those bills can be heard and get through the work through the process. So that this is probably the, you know, where you hear people talk about making the sausage and all that. This is where it gets pretty complicated, and is trying to work through it and get the things done that's important. And obviously, on the part of some, they would like to see some of this legislation go away, or at least work on it during the interim and develop it to make sure that it doesn't have unintended consequences and that sort of thing.
I know that during this process, you've been following several bills, and one of those I know that actually it looks like the governor has signed off on is House Bill 2373. We've talked about this before with Roy Lee Lindsay over at the Port Council, but kind of review that with us and tell us what that's about and where it's at, I guess.
Yeah, I think that is an important issue to those agricultural producers, whatever they're producing, because not to be critical of anyone, but we have more and more people that's moving out in the rural areas that are non-agricultural producers, but they buy property out there, and then what they sometimes consider as being a nuisance, and they file lawsuits, can be very difficult for the actual agricultural producers, and it's important, I think, for people to understand that this doesn't mean that people can't file a suit if there's real damages, and if there's economic losses, it doesn't affect those economic losses at all. But what it does mean is that if they file for economic damages and then they turn around and file nuisance on top of that, then there is a limit to the nuisance, and that prevents people from just doing harm to actual agricultural producers by filing unreasonable amounts of nuisance lawsuits, and it caps that out at $250,000 is what it caps for those lawsuits. And I think it's really good legislation. I think it's a protection to agricultural producers, but it also allows people that do have legitimate claims to be able to do that. But what may seem to be a nuisance to one person may not to another. And so I think it's important to take a look at that. I think this was good legislation. I think it allows some protection to the agricultural producer who's trying to do things right. But in the event that there should be someone that's not, it allows those that may have concerns to be able to at least make sure that they have opportunity to file suit and do what they need to do. So I think there's protections on both sides.
Mm-hmm. And the governor has signed off on this, correct?
Yes, the governor has signed off on it. I think it's, again, some good legislation. We were glad to see that he signed off on it. Feel like that this is important. We've seen issues. It's not been a huge issue in Oklahoma, quite honestly, but we've seen this developing in other states. And so this is really to get a step ahead, if you will, and to make sure that there's not some things that happen in the future that just kind of slows things down, to make sure that there's some protection out here for our agricultural producers.
Mm-hmm. beyond that, you've got a couple of water issues that you've been watching as well. So where are we at on those, and which ones are they?
Okay, well, actually, there's one special that we're really concerned about, and that's 1403, House Bill 1403, which is has to do with in-stream flow. And we just feel like that there's some real concerns about that. We understand what the authors is trying to do, I think, but we just think that there's some things within that legislation that there's a lot of concerns about, and there's a number of different groups that have concerns with it. We feel like that this is one that probably should be slowed down. Take a look at it. There's some studies that are included in this particular bill, which we think are extremely the cost is very high and prohibitive, and we think that there's some things that could be done during the interim as interim studies that would be very little expense, but help work it out and make sure that there's not some unintended consequences in this legislation. And so have some real concerns about that, and as well as many other groups and many groups on different sides that have concerns with it. And so we've been trying to work with the author on that bill to help him understand what our concerns are and try to work through those issues. And hopefully this one will be laid over so that they can work on it during the interim and try to work out some of those details. The other water bill that you may be referring to, Carson, is the one that has to do with eminent domain. And on that particular one, the bill that we're talking about, it has to do, and I think the number is House Bill 1048. But anyway, on that particular one, the issue is really about really with ODOT and the Oklahoma Transportation Authority, and what it is when you have an issue that they have to take land by eminent domain, that they can't take the water with that land, because we feel like that we understand there's times when land has to be taken with eminent domain, but we feel like that there isn't real need for them to have the water when they take that land. And so we think that they shouldn't be able to take the water rights with the land, that the water rights should be able to stay with the landowner that's having to sacrifice, if you will, and give up their land. We think that they should be able to keep their water rights as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's an issue. We think that's an important one, and that's still moving through the process. How far it goes this year, I don't know, because there's always concerns about any time that you're talking about water issues. There's always a huge concern, and you know, I think as we look to the future, whatever those issues are, and it's very hard to get people to agree on those things. But the most important part is to be able to sit down at the table and try to work those things out into where you come out with the best compromise you possibly can that helps everybody concerned.
Federally, talking about water, I know that Oklahoma Farm Bureau recently released their comments submitted to the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers regarding the Waters of the U.S. rule and the revisions they're making to that. I know that Oklahoma Farm Bureau is fairly complimentary of the work that's been done so far, but you all have also offered a few suggestions on different changes as far as strengthening some of those guidelines and redefining some of those key terms to, I guess, add clarity to that. Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of the general consensus that Farm Bureau members have on that?
I think the main thing that we're interested in is we want to make sure that the agricultural producers have an opportunity to have input. We are concerned. We want to protect the waters that we have, but we don't want over-regulation. And we don't think that they should be regulations on every little farm pond, every any mud puddle, if you will, that's on the farm. We understand the importance of cleaning up the water and keeping quality water. I can tell you that there's probably been more done in Oklahoma than about any other state as far as water quality. I think we have to be very complimentary to the Conservation Commission is what I'm trying to say. Sorry about that. But anyway, I think we have to be very complimentary to them because they've done a lot. But I think the important thing to point out in that situation is to say that in the conservation districts, what they've done is they have actually worked with the landowners, and it's been a voluntary program. And I think that's the key to this, is these voluntary programs that they're working with landowners. And our concern is, with the waters of the U.S., we don't want to see over-regulation. We think there's an opportunity to work with landowners and agriculture producers to deal with those issues without over-regulations, because we believe that our producers are just as concerned about water issues and water quality as anyone else. We want to protect those because that's what we live by out there in rural Oklahoma.
I know that tax concerns are always something that you guys are looking at, different tax issues, but it seems like that this is not going to be much of an issue here in 2019. Obviously, I know some things have popped up, but it looks like maybe those have kind of quieted down a little bit.
That's correct, and one of those issues that we were real concerned about and tried to work with the author a great deal was on the sales tax issues, sales tax exemptions for agriculture. Those sales tax exemptions are extremely important to agriculture producers. We recognize that we don't want people abusing those. We recognize that it's important to work with those. We don't think that there's a lot of abuse on it. There's difference of opinion on that, obviously. But I think it's important that we work with the Tax Commission and others on those particular issues. We just think that anytime you're looking at sales tax, we have to be very careful that we don't have unintended consequences that has an extremely negative effect on our agriculture producers. And so obviously we're going to continue to watch those kinds of issues. We want to work with anyone that tries to file legislation on that to explain to them and others how important those particular issues are to agriculture producers. But remember, with agriculture producers, we're in the business a little different than other companies, and so we don't get some of the other tax advantages that some of these companies do, and that's why that the sales tax issues are extremely important to agriculture producers.